I did it.
You did it.
I beat Balatro.
You beat Balatro. Oh, I you said this.
Beat
yeah.
it. I beat it, beat it. Beat
every
good.
Every possible run, right?
Every deck gold, every Joker gold, every challenge done, every achievement gotten. The five fleshes, the tiny hands, all of that.
So here's my important follow-up question.
Yeah.
Have you stopped playing Balatro?
Of course not. I only beat it because it was fun to play. I wouldn't have beat it if it wasn't fucking fun. It's still fun.
I'm very curious how long this is going to last for.
I don't know. They're going to do a content update in this year.
Oh, okay. Oh, really? Oh, that's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, so there's going to be new Jokers to Gold Stake. So, I don't know, forever? It's a good game. It's a good game, Brent.
You know, we all talk about the Forever game, and we're like, oh, is it some vast, like, is it some, 4X Civ yeah, game, or is it like a
live service piece of shit?
Yeah, no, it turns out it's Balatro.
It turns out it's roguelikes. It always has been. It's Spelunky. It's Binding of Isaac. It's Balatro. What did you beat?
I haven't beaten anything else. I've been reading books and stuff instead.
Oh, you beat books?
I'm going through this weird, like, I have this, like, weird, like, rotating phase thing that happens where, like, on, like, a 3-month cycle, I'll get really into playing video games, then get really into reading books, then get really into watching movies, all kind of to the exclusion of each other, and it all just kind of rotates through. So I'm kind of in my book phase currently, but I'm probably going to get into like movie phase in like a week or so, and then game phase will roll back around by like end of April.
Okay, that's cool. Did you say which books?
No, I didn't. I finished a book called Until the End of Time by Brian Greene, which was pretty okay. I like Brian Greene, but it was him talking a lot about anthropology, which is, he's a physicist, so.
Oh, uh-oh, well.
It was the bits where it was good where it was where he surprised me by having surprisingly good perspectives, I think, on anthropology as a physicist. Mm. But the bits where it let me down where it was like, yeah, okay, but, or I could just like read a book by a subject matter expert. Like, I don't really need your takes on this material, on like where the human impulse for creativity comes from.
Yeah. I couldn't imagine commenting on things that are out of my area of expertise in any official or any recorded capacity. Couldn't possibly be me.
We're going to hit 1,000 hours doing this podcast at some point. That makes us subject matter experts.
Fair enough. Plants and flowers and mushrooms. Oh my. We solve an eldritch mystery in strange horticulture.
Then in the back half of our show, we're doing an actual play podcast where we play Parcheesi.
You can't say that. That sounds fun. Now I want to do it. God damn it.
I roll a 3 and a 6. Oh, 2 and a 5. Damn.
I don't know how Parcheesi's played. The modest chef never bothers his wife in the morning because he blushes when he sees her dressing. Welcome to Light Gaming, the video game podcast, lighthearted video game podcast about light video games. Games you can finish reasonably or understand within the span of a week. I am your host of Light, Jerome Barbatsis, and I am joined by my daunting, daring, and delinquent co-host of Light, Alexander Hambrock. Say hello.
Oh, geez. Oh, gosh. Hello.
He's so daunting. Anyway, today we're talking fungal, floral, and not faunal.
No fauna in this game. One fawn
in the game Strange Horticulture. Now, of course, it is time for me to give you the boring bits to cover. Tell us more about the gory details of Strange Horticulture.
Yeah, honestly, like, not a ton to go over with this one. It's a 2022 game from an independent British developer named Bad Viking. I don't believe they've done anything else, at least not anything that I've heard of. No particular sort of stories of its history. I think it's just a team with a creative idea they wanted to implement. And it is, if I call it like a plant shop manager, that might give you the wrong idea. The game I actually thought of the most while playing this is Papers, Please.
Yes, definitely.
It's a desktop simulator.
Yeah, it's got people coming in to your little booth. You've got papers and plants to manage this time instead of just papers.
Yeah, you've got this like this desk arrayed in front of you. You have these shelves up above, and you like you have this increasingly array of bizarre, strange plants with bizarre, strange properties. And you have this desktop that you can like pull out your plant identification book, pull out your little magnifying glass, pull out your weird stone code circle, and and do things on your desktop to like investigate clues, track down additional plants, which you then use to help people who then give you more clues to track down additional plants is kind of the loop.
And as the days go by, people come into your shop, and even stranger cast of characters come into your shop. People who are reportedly witches, investigators, little girls, people who are sick, who need tinctures and herbs. And these plants do... are believed to, at least, or demonstrably have mystical powers, and it's up to you as the inheritor of this shop to give people the plants that they are asking for or alluding to or are specifically asking for, and then come back in later and are pissed off that you gave them the plant that you specifically asked them for.
It's like, what do you mean? Like, I wanted you to enhance my psychic visions. I didn't know it would give me psychic trauma.
That, or I wanted... There was the one guy who asked, my favorite guy, who's this asshole of a character. This just kind of a comic relief character, the constable.
Oh, yeah.
He was a lot of fun. He asked for a plant by its scientific name, and then you give it to him, and he was like, I can't believe you gave me this piece of shit. It gave me a rash. It's like, well, that's what it said it was going to do.
Yeah, so like a lot of what you're doing in this game is like your plant journal will have an entry for a bunch of plants, right? But it's not always a one-to-one correlation between what you have in stock and what's in the book in either direction. You can have pages in your book that aren't on your shelf or vice versa. And like, and oftentimes it's not giving you a clear description of the entire plant or a picture of the entire plant. It's showing you just the leaves or just the flower, and it's describing something about its properties or how it smells or something else about it. And you have to kind of like sift through your increasingly large collection of plants and be like, okay, this has blue flowers that droop, and when I look at it closely, it says that the air smells clean, so it's probably this one, which I can then hand over to this person because it meets what they're looking for.
Yeah, and the game will just... It's not like you give somebody the wrong plant and they walk out the door happy. If you give somebody a wrong plant, you just get a little bit of a Phoenix Wright style ticker meter up your out of your life bar, and then it's pretty much just game over once your creeping dread manages to reach maximum.
Yeah, which is maybe like one of my two big criticisms of this game. I enjoyed this game okay, but I wish I liked it a lot more. And one of the two criticisms I have of it is that it's so on rails in that way, right? Like it's to a point where like you'll hit hard locks where even if you haven't solved all of like the clues you've been given, the plant the person's asking for just requires you to solve a clue you got 2 days ago. And yeah, so they'll just wait there in your shop while you go out and do it.
Yeah, they'll wait there. They will not leave. That I agree. But also I do empathize with the, you know, monumental task of what a game like this would be if you ended up having, if it was kind of like it was super conditional in that regard.
Yeah, sure. Papers, you got to control very quickly.
Because this is like Papers, Please, a branching path story. There are several different endings. However, the branching paths are made pretty obvious. There are just a couple of spots wherein you are given a choice of one or two different plants to put in. Just a choice of two, I guess, not a choice of one or two. You get to pick one, and then the story branches from there. It's not like Papers, Please, where, of course, some people coming through the booth are obviously much more important than others, but some might not be, and some... Everything in that game is just sort of a gem of a tangled web. This game is kind of more like a Final Four or like a tournament bracket style.
Yeah,
story.
Sure. You get like discrete forks where it's like, give this person this, or if you want to fuck with him, give him that one instead.
Mm-hmm. And that's great. I think it's still cool. It adds a little bit of replayability. Not that I actually went back into it. I did really enjoy this game. I enjoyed the vibe of this game. I particularly enjoyed the map. There is a map, a grid map that you can open up and spend a resource you get called Wanderlust, right? I think something like that.
Yes.
And
which builds up over time.
It just builds up over time. And if you beef one of your Wanderlust spends, you can like refill it by watering your plants, which is medium satisfying. It's kind of fun. And once you open that up, you could select any of the grids on this really cool map to explore maybe a town or go visit somebody. Maybe like your friend Simone is in the other town. She's like, come talk to me in this town and I will give you some clues. Or maybe you're using some of your other tools on the map to then figure out where you're supposed to go based on some cryptic clues you get every single night from from your psyche.
The tarot deck of your mind. It's not clear.
The tarot deck of your, yeah, whatever. I was cool with it. It didn't have to make sense.
It's a pretty big map too. It's like 20 by 15 squares and it's got like dozens of towns, mountains, lakes, forests, monasteries, etc. It's very funny. Like very early on, you get that like the first letter you get is like, I went to this town and it was so awful and gloomy. I shouldn't have come here. And I was like, well, they name dropped a town and I can see it on the map. I should go check it out. And I went there and the protagonist was just like, ugh, it's so awful and gloomy. Why did I come here? And then I left immediately and developed like half a bar of stress.
Yeah. It's like, ah, all right.
Very like dead dove. Do not eat. Like,
okay. I think that map was cool. I will say there's a bit of a missed opportunity because if you end up kind of missing and not going anywhere that's important, all it says, there's a couple of different like rotating pieces of text it gives you, one of which is, why did I come here? Which is like, because I was what? And then there was another one that was like, nothing here. I could be back at the shop. And I think both of those could be replaced with, I don't know, some nice descriptive text of the world you're exploring.
Sure.
I think that maybe would have been a lot of writing, but I think also it would have made for a reason to keep playing, like something else to spend your wanderlust on while you're maybe exploring the other endings, or maybe there's some, I don't know, maybe there is some benefit to exploring every single cell. I got all the way through row C before I was like,
Oh, see, I didn't even bother with that.
Yeah, I was like, well, I just had the game open for like a while. And speaking of my other criticism of this game is the piano loop.
Oh,
it's just, it's a good loop. You know, it's a
like,
good 20 to 30 second vibe of a piano track. Doesn't need to be there for the whole game, though. Oh my God. It's like, it got a big rating after hour six. They could have maybe had a couple of different loops for the different days of the week and just rotate it through just to break up the monotony, because it takes place over like 2 weeks and it's just 2 weeks of the same like five or six chords.
I mean, I think that my biggest complaint with the game and like the thing that probably means I'm not going to go back and replay it is that like it's the pacing or like the lack thereof. Like there's no real sort of like highs and lows. It really is kind of like every day plays out the exact same, with like, you know, you engage in the same sorts of actions, the same kinds of people come to you and ask for stuff. You get the potion making stuff later on, but like it doesn't really change stuff up that much.
Not
like
really.
And the ending just kind of happens. It's like you just like the days advance linearly and then you hit the final day and it's like, okay, I guess it's time to go off and do the big final thing. And this doesn't feel like there's a whole lot of like build up, or
it also doesn't have that sort of Persona style deadline mechanic that I would expect a game like this to have. It does for a couple of the missions. Like there's one where it's like, I'm gonna come back in 2 days and you better have this plant, but that's not so bad. Like that to me is like a starting level puzzle, and then like the overarching thing or the looming threat should probably have like, and while it does have a deadline in that like the day's not going to go faster, it doesn't really feel like it.
Yeah, like, that's what I mean kind of by it being so on rails, right?
Yeah,
it's like
no meaningful decisions.
Like you can't get behind, and you doesn't really matter if you get ahead. And like and like because of that sort of like it like the game is constantly kind of like dragging you back to the median as you get through, like, you know, even in like the back third of it.
There was a time where I did get ahead. Like I happened to find something that was later in the story, and then I like used the clues and I was able to use one of the plants to get this thing. But then once I went to where that was telling me, it just had a hard stop. And then that hard stop was later remediated by just like some other flag that was set in the story. So it was just like, oh, okay, there's really not any reason to kind of stray off the beaten path here. Which is a little unfortunate given the nature of this game.
But untush.
Yeah. like doing puns on podcasts because they're the only jokes I don't laugh at immediately after.
The plants are all really cool, though.
Planets are great. Yeah, I have the planets in my positive,
identification
too.
Stuff is fun.
It's a, yes, it is fun, and it was an idea worth building a game around. And I really, I mean, I did enjoy it a lot. I share your criticisms, and it did get a bit repetitive by the end of things. I thought it was like kind of funny at the end. Yeah, you're increasingly, you're getting what, 50, 60 plants on this tiny little shelf, and you're trying to sift through which one.
I did alphabetize him.
You did?
I just took like 40 minutes and just did it. I was just like, look, A's up here, B's next to him, all the way down to like the L's down on this lower shelf.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounded, that was probably helpful. How did you, what did you think of the writing in this game as well?
I thought it was okay. Mm-hmm. I thought it was like, it was well done for what it was trying to do. I did not find it particularly engaging. I did not really get pulled that much into like the lore or the plot.
Yeah.
Other than that, like, I think it had some cool ideas going on with the different kind of factions interacting. I don't know. Like, it was like a straight middle of the road for me.
Yeah. It's in my middles category too. But I wanted to see if you had a different take on it. I liked when you did go out and explore, and it did describe the environments that it was, that you were allowed to see. But otherwise, yeah, it was pretty middle of the road. Not bad.
Yeah. Like, I've played much worse written games than this, mm-hmm. but also I don't think there's much that's going to stick with me.
Yeah. But okay. Well, that is, I suppose, going to do it for our discussion on Strange Horticulture. Check it out. Light game. It's a breezy game. Very yeah. good vibes. But as far as we're concerned, we have a pretty good time with it. Get it on sale, I suppose.
Yeah.
At this point, it's a 2022 game. Speaking of sale, we are going to go into our obligatory ad segment, and then we will be right back for a new segment. What? Mm-hmm. Have you got the thirst for battle?
Boy, do I ever!
Do you fantasize about mixing your caffeine and alcohol to get through your miserable workday?
Every night before I fall asleep.
Are you familiar with the Metafori Fantasio G Fuel crossover?
Not whatsoever.
Well, then you are the perfect person to try the new greatest crossover collab from 4 Loko. Lufia 2, Rise of the Sinistrals 4 Loko.
Whoa, shit, really? Lufia 2 rules.
Join over 3 people who've enjoyed the great flavor of 4 Loko combined with the classic turn-based RPG combat of Neverland's 1995 medium cult hit, Lufia 2, Rise of the Sinistrals.
Lufia 2 is seriously underrated. Okay, I'm in, actually.
Take your caffeinated buzz experience to the maximum with bold flavors like Green Tia, Pear Salite Army Commander, and Cherim, the Bubbles of Death.
Those are names I kind of recall.
Not to be confused with the Pokemon Please Don't Sue Us Nintendo. With so much flavor and so much hydration, your IP bar is bound to fill up lightning fast.
So is this happening because they're like doing like a big like HD remake of Lufia 2 or something?
What's harder than the life of a mercenary? That's right, nothing. We got merch. Buy enough Lufia 2 Rise of the Sinistrals 4 Loko and save up your XP for treasures galore. We've got plushies of each of the 7 capsule monsters with the 4 Loko's logo embroidered on their bellies. How cute.
Wait, who's running this promotion?
We've got rope with Prince Alex of Bound Kingdom signature. Bound Kingdom is what my Shibari lady calls our Thursday nights. We've got a 2024 Lexus RZ with Lexus's sprite work on the hood, doors, and trunk.
Wow.
Everyone on the road will surely understand that joke and honk in pure delight.
There are hundreds of us.
Also, a functional hookshot. Buy 34 gallons of Lufia 2 Rise of the Sinistrals 4 Loko in any flavor and get a free can of the flavor of your choice. That's 1 gallon per each of the placements on IGN's best 100 RPGs of all time. Promotion is valid while supplies last. So please God, buy Lufia 2 Rise of the Sinistrals 4 Loko.
Yeah, I think those supplies might last for a while.
The Lexus deal was so expensive.
I still don't understand who's running this promotion. Who owns the Lufia IP at this point? Is it Capcom somehow?
Stop worrying about it. That's none of your business. Okay, we are back and we've made our money. That's fantastic. I'm so curious to see who sponsored us this week.
I'm so curious to know how much money we made from that.
It's not a little bit of money.
Okay. So what's our new segment?
Our new segment is a very, it's kind of silly that we hadn't thought of something like this before. It's not really a special segment or anything. No huge production here. We're just going to talk a couple of bit of our favorite things. You know, it's just going to be sort of a rants and raves segment. That's it. Rants and raves. We've each got, I've asked us each to prepare two rants and two raves. We'll alternate a rant and a rave, or a rave and a rant. We'll start with the good stuff. So I don't really have a fancy segment name for this, so I didn't want to. I just was like, let's just talk for a bit.
let's just hang out, man, and connect.
Let's just vibe.
As people.
And connect. So basically, that's it. I am going to start. I have my first... that's the wrong document. I'm going to start. I have my first rave, and this is the Rise of the Golden Idol DLC.
Oh, you did end up playing it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, of course I did. As soon as I was mentally able to do so, I played it. Really enjoyed it. This is a DLC that focuses on what happens to Detective Roy Samson after those first couple of cases in Rise of the Golden Idol, and he gets taken off the case by the corrupt people, and he gets put in a different district. It's a very, very well done DLC. There was one puzzle that I found a little bit frustrating. There was some ambiguity with the words that was a little bit like, okay, but the solution I had in place was also right. but the rest of the puzzles were really, really good. It's just like the DLC of the base game. It kind of starts off, you're off to the races, and you've got a big, meaty puzzles to get through. And the last case, whoa, that's a good one. It's another one of those good last cases, the Rise of the Golden Idol DLC. Hey. Absolutely loved it.
You know what I didn't know but probably should have? That Lemuria is like an actual thing in New Age thinking.
Oh, really?
Like the Lemurian continent is like Atlantis or whatever.
Oh.
And there were like some practitioners in like the last half of the last century who claimed that like ancient Lemurians would possess their bodies and speak through them, which just means that like the Golden Idol game is actually just kind of about that, which is pretty nifty.
That's really sick. I didn't know that either.
This came up in that Brian Greene book because apparently he gave a speech to them once by accident.
Oops.
About how all of their beliefs were irrational. And he got an ovation.
Okay, well,
that book took some turns.
That does sound interesting. That's pretty much it for that. I mean, I don't know what else I would like to say. You got some characters that are returning and some characters that are new, but they are all freaky. And the way there's some dogs in this chapter. The way they draw the dogs. Okay. It's so odd. Absolutely loved it.
The way they draw everything is so odd. It's what's great.
Yeah,
about
but the
games.
Dogs in particular.
Okay.
Like, oh wow! I only know those are dogs because of the context is what is happening right now. but go ahead with your first rave.
So I have been watching, actually just as of this weekend, I finally started watching that anime Dungeon Meshi.
Oh, that's the food one, right?
That's the food one, right? Well, yes. So everyone sold this to me on two principles, right? It's about sort of like a bunch of dungeon explorers who like decide to start cooking everything in the dungeon. And so it's also doing that anime thing where like it hones in on some skill or hobby and like has a lot of like lovingly rendered like montages of people like chopping and stir frying stuff like that. And that's all true. As someone who loves to cook, great cooking sequences in that show. And it's also about sort of like this dungeon ecology of how these monsters all interact with each other and like, you know, survive in this giant descending like Etrian Odyssey, classic dungeon crawler style fortress in the ground. But actually also, it's just really good characters. It's just this adventuring party of four people having what amounts to what you hope a really good like tabletop campaign will play out as, in which like no one's really like the protagonist. They all have different interests and sort of expectations, and just get to kind of like bounce off each other and have conflicts and work together to overcome obstacles and stuff like that.
Is there an overarching plot, or is it more slice of life than you might expect?
It's an overarching plot. They're being driven by like one big quest they all have, but their reasons for engaging in that are all different.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard nothing but excellent things about that show.
Yeah, and hey, you know what helps it a lot?
What?
There's no pervert character. The main female mage isn't in a miniskirt.
Oh,
I don't have to like worry about fucking someone walking in on me watching this show. It treats all of its characters respectfully in a way that is...
You mean your fiance?
Yeah, basically. Or like, not even, it's not even that, because it's not just that I'd be embarrassed by it, right? It treats all of its characters respectfully in a way that anime does not always.
Mm. Well, maybe that's just a cultural thing. Is this... produced in Japan?
Oh, yeah. This is by Triggers doing this one, I think.
Okay, cool.
And it, I'm like a little over halfway through the first season. I just finished the Red Dragon episodes. People will know what that means. I think they announced like a new season has been announced as well. It's based on a manga that ran for like 9 years, from like 2014 to 2023.
Oh, wow.
So they got some, you know, level of content to catch up on.
Have people been praising it in like comparison to the manga? They've said it's a good job, or
I have not seen much of that, but okay. Like it's of sufficiently high quality that I would think so.
Great. Well, that's nice. That's nice of you to bring that rave to the table. It's time for the rants. Caps lock on, baby. All right, my first rant. I haven't ranted about this on the show yet. Beats? I fucking hate Beats.
You fucking hate... I like Beats. I love Beats.
Get the fuck away from me.
You fucking hate Beats?
I can't stand Beats. They're dirt! They're canned dirt! They're dirt from the ground.
Oh, you have the dirt gene.
That's not a dirt gene. It's truth.
This is like the cilantro soap thing.
No,
like, you've got the thing where, like, you taste Beats as dirt.
They're just dirt. There's no sugar in them. I don't care what anyone says.
They don't taste like dirt to me.
They do taste like dirt to you. You're lying. You're lying to yourself and to everyone around you.
I hate them.
I hate them so much.
One of my favorite dishes is beets.
I hate them. Borscht is dirt soup. It's cold dirt soup. There's like a little bit of like some oniony else in it. I don't know, man. Can't do it. Beets. My grandma used to make pickled beets. Sour dirt. It's like a dirt flavored warhead. Cool. Thanks, grandma. Love you. Rest in peace. Everyone was lying to her about those beets too. Why are people just so dishonest about that? They were also dishonest about her pies. I know, but they were her pies. This is a sub rant. My grandmother
rant 2B.
Rant 1B. My grandmother would make just get an open pie crust and then make raspberry jam and then pour the jam in the pie crust, and that was the pie. It just had like extra pectin in it. It was pure sugar. It was the opposite. Oh my god.
Seems a little overwhelming.
It was very overwhelming, and it was like this thing. Jesus. I've got like an inch and a half between my fingers here.
Okay, I don't know that sounds edible.
It would like make for a great prop. Anyway, beets. Fuck them. If they're ever like, they just, oh, they're...
I am going to make my fiance beets when she comes home on Wednesday, because it is one of our favorite dishes to do a beet bruschetta over bread with like cheese and greens.
Beet? How dare you ruin bruschetta with beets?
Okay, well, now I know not to make this one for you anytime.
Caps lock on. Your turn.
Okay. Hey, you know what movie sucks ass?
Oh, my God. I cannot wait for it. What is this? What movie?
The 2017 live-action Ghost in the Shell starring Scarlett Johansson.
Yes! There's no way you watched this after.
I did. I watched this. I actually watched the entire thing. You know, because here's the thing. There were like 45 seconds at the start of this movie where I was like, look, I am less precious about Ghost in the Shell than many other people. It's possible that underneath the terrible casting decision that overshadowed the entire film, maybe someone had like some interesting ideas or a cool action set piece in here or something, right? I was like, I was going in ready to like discover something redeemable about it.
The casting of Scarlett Johansson as Major Makoto Kusanagi.
And then 45 seconds in, someone opened their mouth and all of my hopes were dashed. This movie is from 2017. It feels like it's from 2007.
Oh,
it feels like it is from that era of like sci-fi action movies created by people who don't particularly understand science fiction or action. Mm-hmm. And so just it's constantly sort of like over explaining basic things about how sci-fi computers work to an audience that has basically understood the whole like human brain in a robot body thing since RoboCop in the 80s.
Oh, no. Oh, no. It's dated.
Yeah. And also, I forgot that the twist explicitly is two-thirds of the way through that we learn that they put an Asian girl's brain in Scarlett Johansson's body.
Oh,
they literally whitewash her.
I did not know that.
Yeah, they go meet her biological mom, and it's this old Asian lady.
Oh, I'm grimacing. I'm grimacing pretty hard right now.
That movie is so bad. And
oh my God.
I was kind of like, why does no one talk about this anymore? And I get it now. There's nothing interesting to talk about. I could not talk about this movie for more than like 5 minutes. Like, you're getting all of it here. You don't need to know anything more other than what I'm telling you.
Oh my God. All right. Well, that one will not be on the Podtrod movie podcast if we do. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Oh, we're already at Rave 2. All right. You turn off the caps lock now. We can chill out. My second rave happened this morning. Up until basically just before you got here, I was going through another almost 48-hour headache. So I was feeling the pain. I was feeling it. And then I put on one of my favorite podcasts, Get Played Podcast. Obvious. If you are a listener of Get Played, you will hear the influence in my voice and in my sketch writing and everything I do for this podcast. It's a major influence. The introduction to today's episode took me out of the headache for like a good 15 minutes before it came back, and it was a much needed release. It was so funny. We're going to listen to this, and then I'm going to cut to us laughing at what is surely the funniest thing you'll hear all week.
I can feel it coming before you. I can feel the buildup.
We're 12, 13, and 11. You guys gotta listen to it.
Wow, no. Yeah, no, that energy. Yeah, okay, I see where you get it.
It's so good. It's so good. Womp womp. If you're listening to this in the future, the episode is episode 301, Assassin's Creed Shadows First Impressions plus Street Fighter 2 documentary. Enjoy! Womp womp. Oh my God. Yeah, that part. Rave. Whoa. About the Get Played podcast. They started as how did this get played? A spin out like a joke. First, they had permission from Jason Mantzoukas and whoever else was host, I can't remember, to do a parody of How Did This Get Made? So they played bad video games only, and then they're like, this sucks after a couple of years.
The problem with bad video games is that, unlike bad movies, you have to interact with them, and they're often long.
They're so long. Like, imagine doing an episode on Balan Wonderworld. That would suck so bad.
Balan Wonderworld has 7 fans, okay? And they're very upset right now.
Okay, well, I think they're used to it at this point. But go check out Get Played if you haven't, if you want more of this fucking chaotic energy that Alex and I bring to the table. And you haven't already heard of them, it's Nick Weiger, Heather Ann Campbell, and Matt Apodaca over working at HeadGum, doing the thing, doing the real professional podcaster. I try my best.
Oh, over at HeadGum, that's where Overdue is also. Mm-hmm. That's one of our favorite book discussion podcasts.
This is a HeadGum podcast.
Exactly, yes. This is a HeadGum podcast.
Okay, well, that's my second fucking rave. What a treat. What a treat. Every time you could go on ahead with your second rave.
So, going to come out here, take a controversial position, because the internet has been arguing nonstop.
I like a contrarian.
For weeks at this point.
Love a contrarian take.
Here's what I'm going to assert. Severance Season 2 is good.
Oh.
No, sorry. I am the person who actually thinks, amidst all the haters and doubters and unfaithful out there, that actually the show remains compelling and interesting. And if you don't think so, you were liking it for the wrong reasons. Mm. Sure. Has it lost some of the satirical edge of the first season that drew a lot of people in? I'd say that's accurate. And yes, if you were drawn by the chemistry of like the primary four leads, certainly the season did a lot to kind of split them up and didn't give you a whole lot of them having chemistry together. But the core thing with Severance, the sci-fi premise, what if you could put a chip in your head that made a different version of you that only went to work? That core premise is still a fucking killer sci-fi hook, and this season continues every episode to show interesting implications and spin out ideas about what that would mean, and also delve more into the weird psychology of the kind of people who would be driven to create it.
I'm happy you really like that show. I'm just disappointed that you couched it in the worst way possible.
Well, by saying I was going to be the controversial one?
I was so ready.
People are so mad at that finale, man, for stupid reasons. Like,
Okay.
The main character does a thing self-interested at the end of that episode, and everyone is mad because they think that he should have done the thing all the shippers wanted instead. And I'm like, no, of course he wasn't going to go through that door. Have you been paying any attention?
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess those people aren't real fans of Jeff?
Mark.
That's what his name was. Yep.
No one's watching Severance like I'm watching Severance.
I got at least there's a four-letter name. I got that far.
Mark S.
But thank you so much for sharing that. I mean, I'm out of the Severance discourse, so I'm more in the White Lotus discourse. A show I also haven't seen. I don't know how that happened.
Episode 8 was a departure, but it was fine. You just didn't like it because you were super excited for the next episode. But like in the context of the entire season, it worked out okay.
I guess I just like Parker Posey. That's probably how that happened. Cool. Well, if you got nothing else on that show, guess what? Guess what time it is? Time to put that caps lock back on. It's our second and final rants. My second rant. Oh my God. This one's gross. I mean, it's not like gross, but it's like, oh.
Mine's also gross, so you're fine.
But it's not great. It's a trend on TikTok where these men are like, they're doing one of those like filters that is like a square on your head, and then it kind of rotates between a bunch of images, and it gives you one. This one's about dick size.
Why?
And then there's just this audio, and it's going like, show me your dick.
This doesn't sound fun.
It's not fun. I hate it. I have to admit, and like the way TikTok doesn't let you just like block people or like
mute an
effects.
Idea.
Yeah. Well, there's an effects category. And it'd be like, please don't show me any more of this effect. Of course, TikTok and all these algorithm based content platforms don't let you block out things you don't want to see because, you know, that would be too good. So this is just another thing where you like have to just either really quickly scroll past it before you get some Chad like going like, show me your dick. They're like lip syncing along to it badly. Like,
wait, so,
barely
sorry,
moving their lips.
What does the spinning thing then like superimpose a penis over their face? Or
like, no,
what?
It's just like
8 inches.
It's so
it's
stupid.
Inches?
I don't know. I don't watch them the whole way through. I just keep getting bombarded with show me your dick.
I don't understand how this works. And also, like, who fucking cares if I like spin it and it says they have a 14-inch dick? Okay, it's not true.
It's not true. And also, they're going to just these are the kind of people. Like, what gets it? The major ick in my head is these people are having multiple takes of this until they get the dick size they want.
Oh, that's so much worse.
It's
oh.
I don't want to be on this side of TikTok. Put me back on White Lotus TikTok. That's at least people talking about something they like, even if I've never seen it. I heard some nasty shit's happened this season of White Lotus.
Lizzie's been watching it. I need to watch some more of it with her. It seemed like it was pretty good. Seemed like some gnarly stuff's going down.
Yeah. Well, we'll save that for the Patreon, the TV show Patreon that we'll someday never do.
Yeah, we're like $5 tiers for movies, 10 for TV, mm-hmm. and like 15 for books. And like, it's all simultaneously.
We're not doing a different podcast per tier.
No, it's like it just stacks up. Eventually we're making like 8 podcasts a month.
Oh yeah, true. That's how the empire is built. Well, go ahead with your last rant. We might have time for like 3 of these if next time we do this. That'd be fun. Go ahead, sorry.
Fucking cat litter, man.
Okay. Tell me about it.
Okay,
that's
so
a
like,
good one. That's a good one.
I have 2 cats at home.
Yeah. Oh God.
The boxes were getting neglected because it was really busy and I didn't have time to go to the store to buy more cat litter.
It's so heavy.
Finally did it recently on a day when it was raining is the important detail here, right?
No.
So I'm emptying. I get the new litter home. I empty the boxes.
Please tell me it's not all clumped up already.
Well, I mean, it's very clumped up already. And so like I dump it all into a garbage bag, which normally the garbage bag manages to hold, right? Because I'm going to just like dump the whole thing.
No. Then, like, I don't like the way you said that.
And then I haul like Santa Claus. I'm hauling this satchel of cat litter over my shoulder.
Nastiest pole ever.
Down the stairs to the back alley, to head out to the back alley. And right as I'm about to throw the cat litter into the dumpster, the bottom just rips out of it and spills it all over like the area in front of the dumpster.
No.
And it's...
That's a common area.
It's coming down hard enough that like it immediately begins to soak through. It's already conglomerated.
Well, maybe
like
that makes
cat
it easier
litter
to pick up.
Well, so that's what I thought. So then I went to like the basement area and I grabbed our big like push broom we used to like, you know, like clean up like the dead leaves and stuff, and went back out and tried to push the cat litter off towards like the chain link fence, but it just smeared and just kept like getting like stuck and gummed up in like the brooms. Like I've almost like ruined the broom at this point. I then have to like start like beating the broom against things like the side of the garage or like the side of the dumpster to try and like knock the cat litter out.
Oh my God.
Finally I'm standing there. I've stepped in like the pile of smeared cat litter. It's awful. It's I've just made the mess worse. The broom is close to being ruined, and I'm just like, it's wet, it's cold. I'm going to put the broom back, and I'm not going to tell anyone about this. And we'll see if anyone We'll see if anyone complains about it. And no one's going to use the broom for anything else soon. So I'll wait for it to warm up so I can use the hose to clean it out. And otherwise, I'm going to hope this whole thing blows over and I can, you know, erase this terrible hour and a half from my memory. Or in this case, recite it on the internet for people to enjoy.
Yes. Did it blow over? Were you able to use the hose later?
No, I haven't done it yet. This happened like several days ago.
It's been not raining.
Yeah, but it was really cold out, and I didn't want to like...
It was really cold out.
Today was the first day where I probably could have done it. And I think if it's still warm tomorrow, I'm going to do it. But yeah.
Blame you for not.
It was so cold that I was like, look, I have to unspool the hose and then turn the water on, and then like it's possible the pipes are frozen.
The longer you leave it, the more likely someone's going to complain about the cat shit.
Well, that's why I got to do it this week. That's why I got to do it tomorrow, along with all the other things on my list, like fixing the back door or fixing the back gate or fixing a number of things.
This is why I bought a condo instead.
I also bought a condo. You still need to repair things.
Not that kind of thing. No, it's a high-rise condo. It's very different. You know it. I got a fancy HOA waiting for me to fix most of that stuff. Not my appliances, but rest of it. Can't wait.
So
anyway,
that is my rant about cat litter.
That was an awesome rant. Thank you so much for gifting us with your rant about cat litter. This is exactly what I was hoping for out of this segment. And that's exactly what I hope you guys were hoping for out of an episode of Light Gaming, because that's it. We're done now. Next week, we're going to talk about 1000 X Resist. And next week is not the 100th episode of Light Gaming, but it's Alex and my's. It's mine and Alex's. It's our 100th episode total.
It counts.
It counts.
There's strong continuity between every chapter of
this
podcast.
There really is strong continuity. So if you've been here since episode one, wow. Thank you so much. We've got.
Hi, Zaff.
Hi, Jeff?
I said Zaff.
Zaff. Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. Jeffenia. It's the second time I've brought up Jeff this podcast. Anyway, we've got a segment planned next week. We've got a Charlian forum planned for next week. We're going to ask you guys likely about just some general questions about games you've enjoyed us talking about over the past 100 episodes, games you would like us to cover, with the caveat that Final Fantasy 14 not be mentioned.
Yes, not included.
We're not doing that again. We've done it enough. We know that was many of your favorite too.
I mean, just in general, like 60-hour RPGs probably not going to make the cut.
Yes. Not that I'm not grateful for the time we spent for. In fact, I'm very grateful for it. I loved our live episodes and I loved doing those trials with you guys. Those were so fun. But we would like to know what other sorts of things you guys have been up to since then. We've not had a Charlian forum in quite some time, and it would be nice to catch up. And to participate in that, You can click the link in the description of the episode to go to our Link Pop, and then there will be a link to all our socials, including our Discord. Our Discord has updates, and I've also started doing a little bit of a Discord exclusive every couple of months. I'm going to post the programming in advance so that you guys can, if it's ever a sale, because there was a sale, Steam sale, right? If you want to play the games along with us, you want to save some bucks, join our program, you could join our Discord and see the image of what we're planning to do. We might add some additional things to, we might do a couple double features as things come out. But those are like the next couple of months are set in. And the next, of course, week, as I mentioned, 1000X Resist.
I'm looking forward to this one.
Me too. I don't know what to expect out of it.
I don't really...
For people that have bothered to get past the title of the game, that it's a really good game.
Yes. No, I have heard that, like... Yes, I have just heard that, like, the story in this game is, like, something special.
Cool. Well, I can't wait to dive into it. Thank you so much for having listened to this week's episode of Light Gaming. I have been your host of Light, Jerome Barbatsis, and I'm joined by my co-host of Light, Alexander Hambrock. Say goodnight to the gamers of Light.
Good evening.